Loading in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It's the cure for the common restaurant. Expert interviews, tools, and tips to get you the restaurant you know it can be. Now, here is your host, Donald Burns, the Restaurant Coach.
And welcome to a very special edition of the Restaurant Coach Podcast. You know, this coronavirus pandemic has really crushed the world, but really also the restaurant industry. Thousands of restaurants have closed permanently already, and only the very strong will survive. Now, in order to survive, you're going to need to dig down deep and really tap into some inner channels of inner strength that you may not have thought you had before, but you do have them. And how do I know this? Because you're listening to this podcast. That makes you different than the average restaurant owner or operator. You want to grow. You want to learn. You want to be better. You want more from yourself and from your restaurant. And I'm here to deliver that. Now, on today's show, I'm very honored to have a dear friend of mine, Ava Ballarin, on the show. Ava is an international speaker, analyst, and hospitality lecturer who focuses in on strategy. She's based out of Barcelona, Spain, and she speaks around the world, helping restaurants maximize their potential through strategic innovation. So let's jump right into the episode. And welcome to the Restaurant Coach Podcast. It is the cure for the common restaurant. Today, I am so honored to finally get on my episode, my show, the one, the only, Ava Ballarin, hospitality genius, consultant, strategist.
Whoa. Hello, Donald. How are you?
What a beautiful introduction.
Thank you very much.
Wow, you know,
I can feel you love me.
You know, I mean, we've known each other for like 3 years now, and I cannot believe this is the first time I've had you on my show.
Yes, time goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. So, how are you, Donald? How are things over there?
Things are crazy over here. How are things in Spain?
Crazy.
I think you're going to have it a little worse than we do right now.
We are completely closed. We are only using restaurants for delivery. Mm-hmm. And hotels are closed and everybody is home. And we have still a quarantine for 2 more weeks.
Wow.
So this is news from today. 2 more weeks and staying at home, washing our hands, and trying to be positive and keep this smile in our face and try to think in new things and reinventing us and delivering all the support that we can to all our colleagues that are going through very hard times, all those that have restaurants and that mm-hmm. are taking really big bad decisions. So just like being next to them and supporting them and trying to be the most of the help in this situation.
So just to kind of give a little background, because you know, again, this is the first time you've been on my show. I'm sorry about that. I should have had you on years ago, but how about give a little background about how you kind of got into the hospitality, the HoReCa kind of industry?
Well, I was very young the first time I had my first job in HoReCa, and that was serving drinks, right? As many of us started. Mm-hmm. So then I realized that it was fun to be behind the bar rather than on the other side of the of the counter. You know, that side was much more fun. So that I was very young, and then I started working on the industry. I started working in a big resort next to where I come from. I come from a village called Tarragona, in 1 hour south from Barcelona driving. Mm-hmm. And I started there, and then I moved to Tunisia and I worked for a big hotel chain, and then I moved back to Spain, and then I moved to Mexico, and then I did a lot of things in the industry. And there is something that it has always happened to me, that every time I have decided to quit, you know, because this is a hard job. Nobody knows it if you don't work on it. And I've been for 30 years, for 20 of these in operations. So it's really a hard job. And many times you are really tempted to just give it up and start something new. But then something happens to you that it's like, and let me tell you, it comes very ad hoc to this time. It's like a virus. It gets into you and you just feel that you love being delivered hospitality, and you love making people feel great, and you love designing those experiences that are mm-hmm. gonna be part of people's life. So it's this kind of virus that you never get a vaccine against, you know. So I want one day I just pour a coke for a peer from the other side of the counter, and 30 years later here I am, you know.
There you
doing other things, but always as that girl that started pouring this coke, mm-hmm. you know, and feeling this sort of privilege of being able to make you happy with the very simple thing of serving you a coke in a nice glass with a nice ice cubes and mm-hmm. seeing your smile in your face. You know, this is at the end, this is the seat of hospitality,
yes,
you know,
yes.
And then we can maximize it as much as we want. We can take it to large restaurant companies, mm-hmm. to large hotel chains. We can get big dimensions, but at the end, what really makes us move, the passion that moves us, it's this smile that you get when you know that you have done your job in the right way, that you have delivered an experience, and that you mm-hmm. are able and you have the ability to make people happy.
Very true, very true. So, you know, and most people I talk to, you know, in the hospitality industry like us, you know, it's that early, you know, one moment in our early life just kind of set the trend for us. Something about that connection that we had with the guest and just, you know, that spirit of hospitality, being the ultimate host, that really kind of resonated with us in our heart. And ever since, it's just been kind of, like you said, it's a virus that we don't want to get rid of.
It's such a powerful mm-hmm. Emotion. You know, I remember the time I used to work at the Ritz Hotel in Barcelona. I used to be the event manager. Mm-hmm. And there I used to organize these beautiful classical European weddings in this big halls with those lamps,
oh, yeah.
you know, with this decoration, with this beautiful interior design decoration that the bride, she felt like Sissy, you know, getting married there. She you could feel like a princess, like a real princess. And I remember that it took normally like 6-8 months to from the first visit of the bride and the groom and the parents till the day of the event, in the wedding day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So all this time you built up a relationship with this family, with their illusions, with their desires, with their mm-hmm. budgets, right? With their different interests. And you start having an emotional attachment to them because you were so many times together and so many times to try different menus and to mm-hmm. try different, to check different flowers and music and performance and whatever, right? So at the last day, the wedding day, that day, it was really a fantastic party for all of us, not only for the guests and the family, but as well for the employees. We lived it as it was our own wedding. And the most beautiful thing that ever happened to me at that time was 2-3 days later, or the day after the wedding day, to receive in my office a beautiful flower bouquet from the father of the bride saying something as simple of, thank you for making my little girls mm-hmm. the day of her life, no, the dream of her life, the wedding of her dreams, whatever, right? So to find this beautiful bunch of flowers with this nice card from somebody, then you feel you feel so much, how can I tell you? You feel so attached and so dependent mm-hmm. of this feeling that goes to the client and gets back to you,
yes.
you know? And it is very addictive. This is very, it is very, very, very addictive, no? So this is something that keeps us moving. And this is why it's so important that we train clients, our customers as well, to be kind with employees, you know, to say, thank you. It was a very nice meal. Thank you. Your service was really cool. Why? Because you're feeding their emotional part of the job.
Right.
So let's encourage as well our guests and our clients to say thank you, you know, to appreciate the job that we do for them, because that helps us to keep smiling, to keep improving mm-hmm. and to keep loving the industry
right.
and being committed to it.
And I think right now, especially since it's such a hard time and, you know, restaurants are pretty much shut down except for delivery, and it's really a lot of fear and uncertainty. I think now is the time as restaurant owners and operators, and actually, you know, as us as consultants, we have to remind people, remember why you got into the business and remember those connections.
Yes, but there is something very interesting in this as well, Donald, and it is that it exists a very romantic part of the industry, you know, this part that I was telling before, and a part that I'm very passionate of. But we have to understand as well that time changes, and yes, this crisis is going to shake the industry and the business models are going to change. And we're going to see many different ways to understand how food has to be served, how food has to be prepared, how food has to be delivered. So yes, of course, we have to keep on loving the industry the way we know it, but we cannot block, we cannot be a glass ceiling for new models that are not maybe that emotional, that might be more convenient, and they need a space to be, because they have a client segment as well, and they have a consumption moment as well to exist.
Where do you see some of the new models coming out? Because that's kind of your big thing, is strategies, your kind of your forte.
What I think is that the industry, it's turning, and we have two big models. One of them, it's restaurants as we know them. That means a place where you have a production center, like a kitchen, right? And a front of the house where you can serve food, okay? This is the traditional. Right. And then you have all the other new models, all the other big trends that comes with the food as a service, right? As we have software as a service and content as a service, etc., the food as a service, right? And that means that we're going to see models that they put together the production part, right? The supplying part, first of all, the producing part, right? The serving part, okay? So those three, they are, we're gonna play in different models. And then we're gonna play as well in this serving part. Are we gonna be serving to traditional restaurants? Are we gonna be serving to delivery, house, offices, wherever you ask your food, right? Or are we gonna start catering for retail? Because I think that retail, supermarket and groceries, these are gonna be one of the next front of the houses for many restaurants, okay? So your food will not be delivered in your front of the house, but you will have three supermarkets in your neighborhood that will have your food. And you will turn from a place that you serve your food to your community, that a place that you serve your food to a distribution point that will be groceries and supermarkets. So I think this is a model that it's coming, and it's quite interesting. And everything that's moving to food as a service will be growing. Meal kits.
Oh yeah.
More and more time. Those will be growing, really growing. Delivery will be growing because of many things. Right now with the pandemic, we are becoming more aware of delivery. There is an awareness. You and me, and probably the friends that listen to our podcast, not because we are all in the industry, so we know what's going on. But there is a lot of normal citizens that they did not really know what delivery was. They were not aware of delivery. So this awareness, this delivery awareness will increase the delivery market. And then there is the third thing, Donald, in my opinion, that the consumption moment of delivery, which is very much associated with pizza, Netflix, and sofa, and right, this Saturday night, or Chinese food, right, with friends, I think that the consumption moment and the offer will go wider. We will understand delivery not only for certain consumption moments, but we will accept delivery, we will consume delivery in more ways, in more gastronomic offers, and as well in different moments.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah, I mean, it's all coming. Like you said, we have to change or be left behind, correct?
Yes, it's a way to. I was talking about this with a good friend of ours, with Bo, right? A few days ago, I was talking with him about the situation, and he gave me a very, very, very nice statement. And he said to me, Eva, it's time to go from managing to leading, because managing means keeping something safe, keeping it not to break, just keeping. And now it's time not to manage, but it's time to lead, because the change on the industry will be so strong, the impact will be so, so hard that we cannot keep anymore, because probably we will have nothing to be kept anymore. So we have to lead our businesses to new scenarios and reshaping the model, reshaping our production model, reshaping our serving model, reshaping our inventory, reshaping the ingredients in which we are making our recipes, right? Reshaping our labor costs, reshaping the whole model, right? Because it's time to go from managing to leading, right?
Exactly. Now, so, you know, and you and I have talked about this in the past. You know, one of the things you and I are always shocked at is that people don't have a firm grasp on their financials.
Yeah. This is the first one in the forehead.
I know.
Right. Yeah.
Number one. Oh, my God. I can't believe. Yeah.
Numbers are numbers. I mean, you can, how many restaurants have we seen where food is great, it's amazing, where the interior design is cozy and nice and perfect, where service is so human and close and warm, and they close in 6 months because they cannot manage the business. A restaurant business is not about serving food. It's about managing the food that you serve, not serving it. Right, but managing the whole thing. If you don't start with numbers, if you don't know where your money is, if you don't understand that the heart of your business is your P&L, is the numbers, is this the cost of your labor, the cost of your ingredients, your food cost. If you don't understand that this is the real heart of your business, you will not last long in the market, right? And in the time that we are facing, where we will have to be more competitive, and to be competitive will mean to know better how to manage our money, how to manage the economics of our businesses, those ones who will not be doing it, those ones, they are dead and they don't know it yet, but they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What is like one piece of advice you could give like right now that restaurants could start doing today to start planning for, you know, their reopening and recovery?
The best advice I can give them is to try to forecast the scenario where your business will be. Mm-hmm. And that goes from understanding exactly the micro trends that will be in your place. It's not the same a restaurant that it's next to the sea and the average client, it's a visitor, it's a tourism, right? They work on a touristic basis, right? Than a restaurant which is located in the center of Chicago, than a restaurant which is in Wall Street, right? Than a restaurant in a little village in any state. Name it, right? So each one of you have a different condition. You have a different ecosystem. And that's the most important thing you have to understand. How will consumers, how will people react at your place? You don't care what's going to happen in Hong Kong right now.
Right.
You care about what's going to happen very locally, because knowing what's going to happen or trying to forecast what's gonna happen, how much money will people have on their pocket, how much ready they will be to spend money, to go on restaurants, which will they demand? If you have to think about safety will be a big word when we reopen restaurants. We have to gain their trust back. What will they want? What will the people of your community need, want, and what will they pay for? Stop thinking about what's happening in Hong Kong, because that will not affect you. What will affect you, what will impact you immediately when you reopen, is the closest situation of your restaurant. And this is what you have to care about. Analyze the clientele that you used to have, think how many of them will come back, think how are you gonna substitute these ones that are not gonna come anymore. You're gonna deliver, you're gonna, I don't know what you're gonna do, right? But try the first thing, forecast this scenario and think which will be the resources that you will have or you can have at this point that will help you to build competitive advantages in these new scenarios. That would be my advice.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And how long, you know, I know the scenarios are different around the world. How long do you see this kind of pandemic happening? How long do you think it's going to last in Spain?
Wow. If I knew it, Donald, I would be on TV every day seeing it, you know. Pedro Sánchez, our president, would call me every morning, 8 o'clock, just to update it to him.
He should call you, actually. He should call you.
I don't know. I don't know. We're saying that now we are just arriving at this top of dead people, right? Of daily deaths. When we are now arriving at this top of daily deaths, it's supposed that good things are gonna start happening, right? Less contagious, right? So now we are at this moment that we are all waiting that tomorrow we have a little bit more. A little bit better new, and the day after tomorrow, another little better new, you know, and going step by step, but we don't know how long will it take. Right. We have already 8,000 dead people here, over here, eh? Almost 9,000, eh? It's terrible. It's a dramatic situation.
Yeah, and it's so crazy. A month ago, I was in Madrid with you. We're at, you know, hospitality. Planet.
Hugging everybody around,
hugging,
and kissing each other.
And, you know, and IFEMA was packed, and now IFEMA's turned into, you know, a hospital.
The largest Spanish hospital, and by the way, Eduardo Puertas, the director, you know him, that means always. So he's doing an extraordinary job over there. He's 24 hours there. Wow. He's really leading teams, and they have done it in a record time. I mean, Chinese people, they built a hospital, I think, in 3 weeks, but here in Madrid, we did it in 3 days. I mean, we had the largest hospital, and as well, Fira de Barcelona, not only FEMA, but the rest of big places, big Congress places, they are as well offering their space to help all these, all the people that are going through through the illness, and they need to be isolated, you know. But I hope that tomorrow we have good news, and I hope that the day tomorrow we have better news, and I hope that the next podcast is gonna be celebrating that the pandemia it's over and we are reopening. You know, this is the aim. This has to be the attitude. The attitude, it's not one more day, it's one day less. And today we are one day less, and tomorrow we will be one day less. And this is the attitude.
That's a perfect mindset you want to have. You know, and I think that's what, you know, as, you know, thought leaders and hospitality industry leaders, as, you know, as you are, I think that's the number one thing we can do, is give people hope and help them refocus.
Yeah, and give them... give them some hope in the way that now we can all rethink things. We have the time, and if we can inspire some changes, positive changes, this is good. This is what we can do now. It's not the time to make business. It's time to be helpful. It's time to gain trust now. Exactly. It's time to comfort each other, and mm-hmm. it's time to help each other in whatever we can. In Spain, we are sharing a lot of content on social media, value mm-hmm. content for the industry, so people at home, they can keep learning and they can keep training on, right. on different abilities. And this is something great. And people like you, me, and all our friends around the world, I think we are just trying to be, to be where we have to be, you know, smiling and saying to the industry, let's go, it's one day less.
Exactly. And that's the only way we can look at it right now. You know, one day less, one day less. So I'm going to reveal for the first time that, you know, the National Restaurant Show was canceled next month, yeah. you know, in May. So what I decided to do is, you know, to keep people kind of motivated and keep things out there, decided to kind of, we're going to launch an online summit and you're going to be a part of it. And Ramon Dios is going to be a part of it. And it's going to be called, it's going to be called the Conquer the C19 Restaurant Summit. It's going to be 3 days. I've got 20 speakers lined up so far. Ava's going to be a part of it. I'll be releasing information. So stay on top of social media with me. And as it gets ready to launch, we're going to be opening up with things. It's actually going to be, there's a lot of different options, but there will be a free option. So if people want to sign up, they can sign up for free. So.
This is really a great initiative, and congratulations, Donald, because I think that this moving online, it's something that we're going to see more and more. Yes. I'm as well launching tomorrow together with some different associations and the university I teach strategy at. We are launching tomorrow as well a very nice initiative, 1 hour daily life, right? Talking about tourism and hotels and restaurants and how the world is changing and how we're going to face it. And I'll be as well online 1 hour live every day till our quarantine is over. So congratulations. I'm really happy to be part of this first online Congress of
awesome.
Yours.
And
great. And I'm really happy to come together from Spain, me from Barcelona, yes. and Ramon Dios from Madrid, who is one of my best friends and a great consultant. I'm
He's
sure
awesome.
We will
yeah.
learn.
Ramon's
we'll
awesome.
Learn a lot from him.
And then if you want to drop the link, send me over the link to the one that you're going to be doing every day. And I'll make sure to share it on my social media because,
yes.
you know, I have a lot of people in the United States that, you know, speak Spanish. And so I think they would get a lot of insight and you're always a well of knowledge and insight for people. So.
Yes, that will be great. Thank you very much for supporting it. I will send you the link so we can invite all your community to join us every day, CET time, from 5 to 6 p.m. daily, 1 hour live with the people from this side of the ocean, talking about
go.
The industry.
You yeah. know, right now, I mean, this is the best time for us all to come together as a community, as a hospitality community around the world. You know, and it's not about borders because this thing doesn't care about nationality, doesn't care about race, doesn't care about religion. This thing attacks everybody. And now it's the time for us to come together.
Absolutely. And I think that there are so many initiatives going on.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it feels, you know, like these little bubbles mm-hmm. that when they touch each other, they come together and they make a little bit bigger bubble. And when they touch each other, they make a... So in the whole world, I'm feeling that there are these little bubbles, these little network initiatives, this
yes.
community that are arising, all of them related with our industry. And I'm sure that all these little bubbles, they will touch each other and we will start, you know, growing, and it will be beautiful to have this global hospitality and restaurant community and to be in touch and to work for the industry of the happiness all together.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so many things, and I think before this pandemic hit, there's a lot of things that all of us, I'm guilty of it too. There's a lot of things that I knew I should have done. You know, I should do this, I should do that. But this really changed a lot of my focus to, you know what, I have to make this happen. I must do it. And so I think if you have a lot of things going on in your restaurant and before this happened, you knew you had a whole list of things you should have done. Like I should have costed out my menu. I should have gotten better into my P&L. I should have marketed more on social media. you got to start turning those shoulds into musts, because now it's not an option anymore.
Yeah, that's right. It's not a plan.
No.
Now it's a to-do list.
It is.
Right? It's not a plan. So take it from a plan and to a to-do list, exactly. Right? And start doing some action now, right?
That's
so
it.
the day that we reopen, you'll have a lot of things already done. Okay, don't wait till that day. Start working now. We have the time now. We have the time. The day we open, we will not have that much time. So right. Everything that we can do now, will be work already done when we open.
That's it. You got to plan now, and you got to start taking some action now. Don't wait.
No time. We don't have time.
Don't have time
to wait.
No, we don't
have time to wait.
No. Because like you said, we don't know. This could last a month. This could last 2 months. But you want to be ready. Because when this thing is over, trust me, people want to get back out.
Yeah, I'm sure that we will want to go back out. And most of all in Mediterranean countries, because this is part of our lifestyle, Donald. You know, we love a terrace.
Much.
We want to be rubbing each other in a bar. We want to be close to each other. Mm-hmm. We need that after work where you see people, where you mix with people. We love this street life,
right.
and this sense of physical community. Mm-hmm. In a way, this social distance is killing us, you know.
We really especially you guys. Yeah, really bad. Yeah,
we really miss hugging each other. Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. I always say, like in the United States, we go out to eat, but in Europe, they go to dine. You know, it's so
we go out to socialize.
Like, so it's amazing. I mean the conversations are incredible, and time just totally gets lost. I've never like enjoyed myself so long as you know sitting around the table with you and some other friends in Spain, and just you know having wine, having food. And having great conversations. And next thing I know, 4 hours is gone, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
It's amazing.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not about eating.
No,
it's about sharing. It's about sharing us. You know, in our culture, food is a part of it all, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just because we eat, we get together. We eat because we are together and it's part of it. It's very, very social by us.
Yes. I can't wait for it to get back. And I can't wait to one day soon. Sit down at a table with you and we break some bread and have some wine and talk about how crazy this thing was and look back on it. Okay.
And it will be soon. I'm sure it will be very soon.
Right. So Ava, I want to say thank you so much for being on my show today. What is your website so people can go to?
EvaBallarin.com. Very
awesome.
Easy.
Yeah,
my name and Afri.com.
Very easy.
So there you can find a lot of content. You can find my last videos, the mentoring videos. Mm-hmm. You can find some dialogues. You can find all kind of content in a page that has been for more than now 8 years online and with more than 800 posts.
That's
so
awesome.
There's quite a
Tons
lot for
of,
everybody. Yeah,
yeah
nice
Tons
buffet
of content.
Content.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I will make sure to put that link in the show notes. So anybody wants to check it out, just find the link in the show notes. Head over, please connect with Ava on social media too, not only just her website, but follow her on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. She's all over the place. She's an amazing woman, and I am very, very honored to call her a friend.
And I'm very honored to be here with you, to be here with all your community, and you know I love you, Donald, you know.
Oh, I love you too, Ava. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Coach Podcast with Donald Burns. Tune in next time as we serve up more ways to maximize your potential. Visit our website at www.therestaurantcoach.com or download episodes at iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify.